I know that Jesus identifies with my weaknesses. I know that he identifies with my human nature. See, we're not alone in the universe like some of us might think before we find out that Jesus was truly a human being and he had feelings and he went through the trials and tribulations that we all go through in life.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is What Easter Brings Us and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
So today we're going to be talking about what Easter brings us. Easter brings us far more than what we see on the store shelves and the nice little decorations we see on people's homes and in their homes. Easter brings us the salvation of God through his son, Jesus Christ. And if you notice on the screen, I have various verses that I want to go over today because Easter is a big thing. And the whole Bible discusses the whole concept of Easter, of what we call Easter, I should say. Because Jesus came for this very reason, to die and to be raised from the dead. So I'm going to be going through some verses here today. And I want everybody's hearts and minds focused up here so that you can get a better understanding of what we're talking about when we're celebrating what we call Easter. First of all, Easter gives us confirmation of Christ's identity. For those of you who have your Bibles ready, look at Romans 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen, Jesus Christ was truly human. He was a man. He was flesh and blood. He could bleed and he could die. He descended from the seed of David, King David, the King of Israel, which made him the rightful heir to the throne of Israel. So Jesus was truly King of the Jews, as it was written upon his cross, was it not? So Jesus was flesh and blood, and he was truly human. Now, see, the reason why I like that concept is because I know that Jesus identifies with my weaknesses. I know that he identifies with my human nature. See, we're not alone in the universe like some of us might think before we find out that Jesus was truly a human being and he had feelings and he went through the trials and tribulations that we all go through in life. And hallelujah to the fact that he defeated those trials and those tribulations so we can lean on him for strength. You can't lean on strength to somebody who doesn't know what you're going through, can you? Because they just don't know, do they? You can lay your problems on them, but if they haven't gone through it, they don't know. They don't know. But Jesus went through it all. So first of all, you have to understand that Jesus was truly human. He was a human being. He was a man, and he was a descendant from the seed of King David. Jesus was truly divine. He was God. Sometimes people miss this. The resurrection verified this. Now listen to me. God's Spirit came down into the flesh of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God came into the body, the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Now see, the reason why I love what the Bible says about God and Jesus being one and the same is that I think to myself, when things are going bad for me, I think to myself, What a beautiful, loving God we have, that he could have sat up in the throne of heaven, but he chose to come down here in the flesh and blood to suffer. Now that is a true act of love. Because if you had the power to save yourself, you probably would you not? But Jesus came to die, knowing that he would die. God put his spirit into flesh and blood to suffer like the rest of us. He took his turn at life, and he fulfilled his calling upon his life. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it beautiful that not only did he suffer through the cross, but he was raised from the dead? And knowing that he did so, we also will follow. Many people had the misconception that other founders of the world's religions claimed to be God, but that is not so. Abraham and Moses, the founders of Judaism, did not claim to be God. Muhammad, founder of Islam, did not claim to be Allah. Buddha didn't claim to be God, and neither did Zoroaster. Among the leaders of the world's best-known religions, only Jesus Christ claimed to be God. You see, we're unique in our beliefs. It was a bold statement for Jesus to get up and say, "I'm God." But you know, he did more than say it. He had the miracles that spoke of his divinity. Did he not? He had the miracles to prove it. Only Jesus Christ. Now, a second thing that Easter gives us is Easter gives us the cancellation of sin's penalties. You're set free. You're no longer under the law of penalty, okay, for your sins. Neither am I, because Jesus Christ has washed them clean. We just sang a song about the blood of Jesus washing us clean, right? Look at Romans 4, 20, look at Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. But also for us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Now, that's so beautiful, because I tell you what, if you've ever found yourself in trouble, the best thing that could happen is somebody else come and take the blame. Not for the person taking the blame, though, huh? Let's talk some truth here. Everybody wants to get out of the mess that they're in, don't they? As soon as you find yourself in a mess, you want to find a way out. Well, guess what? God saw that we were in a mess before we saw we were in a mess. You get that? We didn't even know how much of a mess we were in with God. But God saw it, and Jesus Christ came to take on the penalty that we deserved, all right? And he got us out of that mess. He got us out of that mess. Because sin is a mess. But see, listen how it says. He was delivered over to death for our sins, not his. He was innocent. He didn't die for something he did. He died for something we did. Now, doesn't that just make your heart want to praise? Doesn't that just want to make you shout hallelujah that you got somebody that when nobody else cares about you, you know that God loved you so much that his one and only begotten son died for you innocently and for me. And then it goes on, it says, and he was raised to life for our justification. We are justified because of his rising from the dead. And if God did it for Jesus, he's going to do it for us. Third, Easter gives us the celebration of life eternal. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. As soon as you accept Jesus Christ in your heart and believe that he has done what he has done for you, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell within you. And your mortal body, though it may die physically, will rise on the return of Jesus. Now, I know that there's people in the world that find that crazy. But I look at some of the things in nature And I can't believe some of the things that I've seen that God has created in our beautiful world. But I do believe what Jesus is going to do for us. I didn't always believe this, but I believe it because God came into my life and he has shown me things of himself. And so I want you guys to know that Easter is our celebration as Christians. On your worst day, know that this life is temporal. But there's going to come a day, a wonderful day, that God is going to come back and make it all right. See, that's why we need to be living for God now, because we're going to be living with him eternally. Because one of the questions I have is, how can I say I want to live with God forever if I don't want to spend time with him now or his people? How can I sit there and be such a hypocrite and say to God, well, I want to go to you forever, you know, and just spend, you know, eternity with you. But in the meantime, I'm going to cut up and live my life the way I want to. That's hypocrisy. Is that true belief? That's not celebration of eternal life. Because the true celebration is knowing that we're going to be with him. It's like your best friend's coming to visit and coming to stay. It's not the fact that you're not going to die and stay dead. It's the fact that you're going to get the fellowship with Christ eternally. That should be your joy. You should be so in love with God that eternal life brings the joy of fellowship with him rather than the concept of just living forever. I hope everybody is catching what I'm saying here. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. It's about spending time with the eternal God that loves you more than you could ever imagine. And so this is what Easter gives us. It gives us a celebration of life eternal. Life eternal with Christ Jesus. If Christ had not risen, if he did not come out of that grave, if his body just stayed there and saw decay, these are the things that we would have not had. But if Christ had not risen, this is where we would be. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 and 20. And if Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so was our faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Oh, what a beautiful verse. The first fruits. Christ is the first fruit. Listen. What Paul is saying here is if Jesus didn't do this, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, then all of this stuff is nonsense and we should be pitied more than anybody else because our hope is greater than anybody else's, right? Think about that. We have more hope in our Christian belief than any other religion gives you. Did you know that the preaching that the Christians do is based on the fact that we are going to live eternally in fellowship with Jesus Christ? And that we get to that point, not through our own efforts, not through our own deeds, but because of what Jesus Christ did. See, all the other religions leave it up to you to do something to fellowship with God. Now, let me tell you something. That's not love. That's not love. That's not a loving God. If you don't worship a God that loves you so much that he extends grace to you to come fellowship with him, then that you're not worshiping the true God that we worship as Christians. Because listen, Jesus Christ died because he wants to be with us. Have you ever said that I'm just dying to get that car? I'm just dying to get that job. God died to get us to him. To him, it wasn't just a saying. To him, it was literal. Do you know of anybody else who loves you so much that they would literally give their life for you? Some people might say, I'll give my life for my kid. And I believe them. Jesus doesn't want to lose any of us. He wants us with him. But listen, if Jesus didn't do what he said, preaching would be useless. This would be a waste of time. This would be a waste of time. But might I say this to you? If you don't believe that Jesus died and raised, if you don't believe that in your heart, if there's something inside your heart that's keeping you from believing that, my preaching is useless. Then church just becomes an exercise that you do. And listening to the preacher man just becomes something that you just do. But if we have an unbeliever in here, all the words I say is just going to roll right off of them. And it's going to be a waste of their time to be here if they're not going to believe. And had Christ not risen from the dead. If Jesus didn't raise himself from the dead, if Christ did not raise, faith would be meaningless. Where would your faith be? It'd be kind of ridiculous to sit here and say, oh, I'm going to pray about it. Why? Your God is dead. He can't hear you. Dead people don't hear people praying, do they? So your faith would be meaningless. You might as well just go out and pray to a bench if Jesus was still in the grave. You know I'm speaking some truth here, right? I'm not saying that he's not raised from the dead. I'm saying had he not, all of this would be for naught. And again, we're going through the verses here of what we just read. Our message would be deceptive. We'd be liars. People would be looking at you and say, Pastor James, you're a liar. That man is dead. And I got his body to prove it. They never found his body, did they? Why? Because you can't find something that's not there, right? Because that body got up and walked away. But no, our message would be deceptive. We'd all be liars as Christians. We would run around saying, well, let me pray with you. And let me talk to you about Jesus. And people look at you, you liar. I know about your God, and your God's dead. But that's not the truth, is it? We know the truth. So I hope we're all getting this today, because I'm going to tell you something. Your spiritual health is so important, because it not only affects you. It not only affects you, but it's going to affect everybody that you come into contact with in your life. Your spiritual health, and what I'm preaching here today about Jesus Christ dying and raising from the dead, is so important, because it's going to affect your attitude in life. And your attitude in life is going to affect the people around you. You see what I'm getting at? And the level of your faith dictates the level of how God's going to use you. If you have a little bit of faith, then God's going to use you just a little bit. But if you have a lot of faith, then he's going to use you a lot. Doesn't that make sense? Because you don't bring a glass of water to a fire, do you? You bring a hose and a water supply, don't you? You get what I'm saying? So our message would be deceptive. We'd be liars. Salvation would be unreliable. Listen, if Jesus didn't raise himself from the dead after he said he was going to do all of that, you'd be asking yourself, what's going to happen when you go to the grave? Listen, Christians have the assurance that that casket and that grave is not going to hold them. That casket is not going to hold you eternally. The grave can't even hold you. Couldn't hold Jesus. It won't hold you. Because Jesus raised, we're going to raise. Why do you think Jesus says follow him? He's going to the Father. And he has to be out of the grave to get there, doesn't he? So if we're following him, he has to get us out of the grave to come follow him to the final destination, right? There you go. Loved ones would be unraisable. Now see, listen to this. When you lose a loved one and Jesus didn't do what he said he was going to do, and you lose a loved one, they're gone. Not only do you have no hope for your own eternal life, but your loved ones don't have any hope either. And then all of life becomes hopeless, doesn't it? Because what's the meaning of life if this is all you have now? If this is it, and you know the devil likes to say this one a lot, you better enjoy it now because you only live once. We all heard that one in our heads, haven't we? Oh, go ahead, you only live once. We even say it, some people, don't we? Go ahead, you only live once. No, you don't. Not for the Christian. Not for the Christian. Not for the Christians. Listen, we've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ spilled his blood on Calvary for us. We've been purchased. We are not our own anymore. Okay? And listen, he just didn't come by and buy you. You came to him and said, save me. Right? You made a covenant with him. The New Testament. Old and New Testament mean covenant. You don't want none of that old covenant stuff. That was the law. That was works. You want the New Testament that says, I accept your forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And now that he dwells within us, we want to live like Christians, don't we? We want to have the attitude of Christians. We're not defeated by the world. The world can't defeat us. Our daddy's God. We've been adopted into the holy family of God. The world don't have a hold on us. So stop acting like it does. See, sometimes we don't understand that we're praying to God, get me out, get me out. And Jesus says, you've already been set free. Exercise what I've given you. Take it and live it. I've given you my word. I've given you my son. I've given you my blessings. Take it and use it and live life to the full. Our lives would be miserable if Jesus had not raised from the dead. Miserable. Miserable. Think about it for a minute. The only thing that you would have to look forward to is dying. Is dying. And I want to hang on this last note here for a moment and tell you that I've been blessed with many things in my life that were good, and I have been blessed with things that have been bad. Now, how can I be blessed with things that are bad? The simple fact is that even the bad things, if we give them to God, can be used to bless the kingdom and to bless other people. And I want to tell you something, that you do only live once in the flesh for now, okay? And that you are going to die someday. But understand that Easter should bring that celebration to your heart, knowing that Jesus is going to come back and he's going to raise the dead. And we're all going to be up there with him. And his kingdom is going to be set forth, and we are going to have eternal life with God. And this is what Easter brings us.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.